Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website's Rear Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and, you know, I knew there was a reason I thought Chainsaw Man was peak fiction. Fujimoto, you magnificent bastard. And with me, I have...
Something, I got a cold and I can't think of anything funny right now.
And...
Look, if you do your own make-your-own-breakfast restaurant, first off, why? It's like he's saying, it's like, okay, maybe I kind of get the appeal of, we can get our own pancakes here, like, do you mean the shit that we pay y'all to do?
I mean, I understand, like at, like, a continental breakfast at, like, an okay hotel or something, but, like, I get the feeling this isn't that, whatever it is you're referencing.
Yeah, no, apparently this ain't a continental breakfast, it's more like a restaurant where it's, like, it's sort of like, you know how there's like Korean barbecue thing, Korean barbecue, it's kind of like that, except, well, it's for shit that, well, you made before at home, man. And apparently, like, I read the prices, like, it's like, well, Starbucks for kids, three under, $9 for 10, $9 for kids, 4 to 10, and adults, 11. It's like, once you're 11, yeah, pay off. Like, the fuck?
Man, now I want Korean barbecue.
I'm not against the idea of, like, a breakfast buffet restaurant, but it has to be done in a certain way that's not stupid. Mostly just not stupid.
Yeah.
I never did share the name of it. It's called the P Funky Griddle, or the P Funky Griddle, or at least the Funky Griddle, or whatever. It has a P and an F in it. P Funky Griddle.
The P Funky Griddle. Okay.
Yeah, what is that? In Nashville. So.
Oh, this looks gentrified list all hell.
See that doesn't sound like a real place. That sounds like a teen hangout spot in a forgotten Disney sitcom.
Oh, God. this is a place where you make your own pancakes. It's like Benihana, except not like Benihana at all.
Yeah. But yeah,
man, now I want Benihana fried rice. God damn it, I just want everything.
Yeah, just a pro tip. Go to an actual good breakfast buffet. They exist. You have to find them. They will cook the food for you. Mostly because I would not trust kids over a hot griddle to not, you know, burn their hands.
It's that. And I dig your feet might be good, but it's like, the more you think about it, it's like, what the fucking idea is that? it's like when, you know how, like, you know, this piece of it's called Papa Murphy's, where, we had it a long time ago. It's like where you, they tell you, like, they make you a piece of tapas and you take it home and bake it yourself.
Why?
I don't know. Like, we had it once before at Walmart. It didn't last, which we know why.
It's the reason why they don't really have as many places as they do anymore, because, let's just say children need to learn how to work ovens in their home. They're getting too complacent with all this delivery crap. Learn how to bake food yourselves. But, you know, good food, not whatever this crappy gentrified pancake hut is.
Anyhow.
Yeah, but this ain't about breakfast, all right? This is not a show for that, and we don't know we're gonna do it again. This is music.
Yeah, and this will be a breakfast podcast, but not today.
Yeah,
no. We're not a true crime show around here,
and we never will be. Don't you dare!
I can't do that shit.
We should probably get back on track. So, yeah, here we are, episode 403. So, how's everyone's week been going?
Well, as mentioned, I caught a cold, so that's terrible. I've been hopped up on DayQuil and Theraflu medicine all day, so that's also not fun. My week has been very busy going back to work, back to all the work. Which rendered the 10 days I spent at home trying to get away from all that extra work completely pointless. There are just so many fucking people around here. I'm so tired of people. I'm tired of having to deal with getting sick after dealing with all these fucking people. But at the very least, there was something to comfort me in these trying times. The return of the king. That's right. Armor King is coming back. I am very excited about that. I need to get back into Tekken 8, and hopefully Armor King will be the one to do it. That way I can hit everybody with stunners, power bombs, and stormbreakers all over the place.
Yeah, maybe I can figure out whatever the hell that Pac-Man DLC is.
I'm sure it's weird and wild. There's also something else that happened in the wrestling world, but I'm not going to talk about it because I choose to disassociate myself from crap like that for very obvious reasons.
I'm not going to ask.
You're better off not knowing.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Let's see. Work has been the usual. Work has been work, and give it a knock. I look forward to mainly another six day work week because schedule is consistent. Hopefully at least after that I get 2 consecutive days off, which is good because I'm like out of that gear. Other than that, it's been wet because it's been raining a lot. It rains every other day. For some reason, like maybe since Thursday, but it's not much of it happening. Just the usual stuff of me doing my shit and well. Yeah, that's it.
Fair enough. As for me, well, I decided, well, we in the house decided to go to a water park for the first time in, well, a long-ass time. Went over to Rapids, maybe not the best time to go just because, like, you know, it's right before school starts, but so overly crowded and all, but, I mean, I didn't mind otherwise. Felt nice to, you know, get toasty in the sun. Somehow I didn't get burned, which is, interesting. But aside from that, I finally completed that there Donkey Kong Bonanza. Absolutely wonderful, charming little platformer, and I gotta tell you, I was not prepared for the ending of that game to drop twists and lore. We're through the looking glass here, people. I did not think I would spend so many days afterwards thinking about the lore implications of a fucking Donkey Kong game. Oh, banana. And yes, also I need to point out once again that Tatsuki Fujimoto is the GOAT. Your favorite manga author could never. But you've probably seen that all over the place anyway. So that about does it for the formalities. Now time for the usual business. Starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all of that fun jazz. So, for these first couple of songs here, as I've been doing on and off the past few episodes, I've decided to throw some new artists into our rotation, just because, you know, sometimes you gotta keep things fresh. You gotta try and widen the pool a little bit. Just because I think it's funny to get people's reactions to some of these things. So, first off, we have this band called Fat Dog, a British act that combines post-punk with a lot of upbeat electronic instrumentals, making their proper debut last year with an album fittingly titled Woof. No clue if there's any EPs or other full lengths on the horizon, but they do have a one-off out here called Pray to That. Production-wise, so the main driving force of, you know, the beat is this very upbeat four on the floor kick bolstered by this very deep bassy synth, you know, very pulse pounding with these kind of subtly sinister sort of violin synth strings, kind of like the Psycho score, as the vocalist, you know, just kind of says a lot of weird stuff over top. Like, I don't know, I didn't catch most of it aside from like fake gun sounds that makes him sound like a fucking British version of, like, the Griselda guys. But, yeah, I mean, okay, so the instrumental is all right for this sort of thing, but A, the vocals sound a bit buried in the mix compared to everything else. Hell, the whole mix kind of sounds, like, weirdly subdued for something that's trying to be, like, more in your face. And second, I don't know, something about this still feels, like, the reaction I had from that debut album, air quotes, is that it felt more like a proof of concept rather than an album proper. And I don't know, listening to the song kind of feels like they're still in that zone. So I'm just waiting for them to, like, actually kick it into whatever the full idea, potential-wise, is supposed to be for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know if it's the Dayquil or the jittery frame rate making me dizzy, but this song feels like a bit of a coke trip. And I'm not sure how to describe it as either good or bad, so take that however you want.
It is dog sounds out of 10. But now let's move on to the next song here, which is from a band that I was introduced to recently that I am a bit more interested in. So we have this group called Fleshwater. Fairly recent, they are an offshoot of the band Vain.fm, made their studio album debut in 2022 with We're Not Here to Be Loved, and they're either currently on tour or they're going to be going on tour soon with Chatpile. That's how they ended up on my radar. So, they've announced their second full-length album for a September 5th release titled 2000 In Search of the Endless Sky. And we have the lead-off single here called Jetpack. To explain the band's style, you know, using this song as kind of a baseline, it is very heavily indebted to the rock music of the 90s. So you have a lot of the moody intensity of the major grunge bands of the day, as well as a good amount of some Deftones worship in there. You know, you kind of hear, like, that whole, like, Deftones chorus sound embodied by a lot of modern bands, such as Loathe, for example, though here it's definitely a lot more melodious and serene, you know, aside from, like, those pockets of heaviness, like, in the chorus section. The guitars kind of bounce back and forth between that saturated shoegaze distortion and some relatively undistorted twang, with the back half of the song definitely evoking more of a shoegaze tone with that kind of very steady 6/8 time sort of groove. I kind of have a soft spot for these kind of modern takes on, like, 90s alt-rock sounds, and if this single is any indication, the new record might slap quite a bit, although, like I said, this is kind of, they do have heavier songs in their discography, and this is more of, like, a gentler one by comparison, but I'm down.
Yeah, very strong shoegazy jam vibes here. It's good music to just sit back and take in, as it gets both emotional and aggressive. I'm still a little dizzy, by the way.
That's fair. Now we move on to the next track. So, as we all know, producer and singer Nourished by Time is dropping their newest album, The Passionate Ones, on August 22nd. We have the latest single from the album titled Baby Baby. And to describe this one, so production-wise, the drums have this very, like, upbeat tempo that's kind of balanced out a bit by being sort of subdued in the mix. The rest of the instrumental has, like, a lot of MIDI keys and this kind of drifting vocal samples, eventually throwing some guitars into the back half, but it is very consistently driving throughout. The vocals kind of have, like, you know, the same sort of loose playfulness that always characterizes, you know, Nourished by Time's music. And as for the lyrics, I'm actually not entirely sure what's going on with the lyrics. It kind of sounds like it's just flowing through a lot of ideas, like the main one being, like, the world is fucking burning down, live it up while you still can, and I'm trying to hook up with a beautiful woman. Also, something about sometimes you gotta cut a berry with a chainsaw, which I feel like is a metaphor, but also could just be literal. Like, what kind of berries are you messing with, dude? Jesus. But, I mean, you know, it's solid enough. Like, it's your typical kind of Nourished by Time, kind of upbeat, sort of also vibey kind of track, so you know, I'm still down. We got a couple more weeks, so let's see where this goes.
Yeah, I agree. This is a very solid track. Like, what's going on with it a bit, but yeah, very solid.
And now moving on to the next track here. It's been a couple years since the last proper full-length album from Eve's Tumor, Which at this point probably means that we're due for some new stuff in the pipeline. Perhaps an EP, maybe a full length. If not this year, then 2026, I imagine. But in the meantime, we do have this one-off track here called We Don't Count, without the apostrophe, because poor literacy is cool. But Tumor is not alone in this, as we have guest vocal contributions from Nina Cristante, referred to stage name-wise as just Nina, a Roman-born artist who, in addition to being part of a group called Barataglia, even, recently directed her debut feature film, and even scored it themselves, so obviously a very, very busy musician and artist of various disciplines. So the song certainly starts right away with a bit of subdued vocals from Eves and Nina before Eves kind of delves more into sort of like that trademark sensual wailing. The instrumental has this very kind of energetic tempo, mainly carried in the drums that are pretty much driving the song throughout, with a good amount of twangy, overdriven guitars in the mix to give everything some body. You know, eventually the vocals do kind of swerve like back and forth between like more boisterous performances and these more subtle vocals. I'll give it this. Eves and Nina are obviously communicating about a lot of very seductive stuff, and they're dynamic. Like, they play really well off of each other in that regard. Like, they're just completely in sync. It's pretty damn good. It's quite a vibe, as it were.
Yeah, this is kind of from last week. This one is very, very, you know, very, I want to say, and this is very, very, I want to say, okay, sexy. Yeah, kind of sexy. This is very, very sexy. Me saying this is really like, what am I saying? But it's true. Like, I can definitely feel it.
And how? Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Looks like we got some news coming out of the camp of the band Dying Wish. Alex, would you perhaps like to take over for a bit here?
Sure. I'll try my best because I'm a little, again, dizzy from the sickness and the medicine, but I'll try and explain the best here. So Dying Wish, I guess you could say up-and-coming hardcore-ish metalcore band from Portland. They've been making the rounds for a little while, touring, put out an album a little while ago, it was really good. They have a new album coming out on September 25th, Flesh Stays Together. And we have our first track of the album, I'll Know You're Not Around. And this one, if you're new to the band, it's more of a melodic taste and feel than some of their more aggressive stuff. Go back to their previous album for, you know, more of that. It's got a good blend of melody and hardcore, you know, traits to it, especially in the chorus with, you know, the melody shining through. With a solid breakdown at the end to cap it off, it's a good blending of styles. And again, they're still on the run up, so, you know, they're still going to be building themselves up. But here, I'd say this is a good taste of what's to come here. If that didn't make sense to everybody, I'm sorry, I am sick, deal with it.
So, having to obviously get myself a bit more familiarized with these guys, I do like the song here. The melodies on the chorus sound very, you know, excellent, mainly being carried through the vocals and all. And that breakdown at the end is, for reference from what I was reading, apparently the production on this album is being helmed by Will Putney, frequent collaborator of one Knocked Loose. So you will not be surprised to learn that the closing breakdown has an absolutely just filthy, stank-faced guitar tone there.
Yep, complete with a very poppy snare sound. I hear that crack and that little bit of a ring in it, too.
Yes, although, that being said, part of me wishes that the drums kind of had, like, a bit more force to them in general. Like, I get that Will Putney doesn't necessarily... He's probably not trying to go for, like, Knocked Loose cloning here, but, like, I do think the drums need to just slam even harder. But I'm biased for obvious reasons.
That didn't bother me as much. I like the more, I guess you could say, cleaner, brighter drum sound. Kind of reminds me of Ginger with how those drums are mixed.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking of that, too. But, yeah, with that out of the way, now let's move on to the ghost of Ghostface Killer. Wait a minute, he's not dead.
Yeah. Allow me to, step it back a little bit. So, apparently back in April, the label Mass Appeal, that's Nas' record label, announced the pending release of 7 new albums coming from 7 very iconic hip-hop acts. 2 been released so far, and 2 of them I'm going to talk about in the roundup coming up this week. Now we got the third one. They're all being Ghostface Killah, as you announced. And it is, in fact, it's about the sequel to his 2000 album, Supreme Clientele, with Supreme Clientele 2. And yes, the album cover, which it looks like if he's your movie tones, the very Louis Tumas cover art, we're like, okay. Anyway, you got a single. We got a first single. It's called "Rap Kingpin." Rap Kingpin, which is basically him do bunchy rap, like false and flexing about how he is. Like the first verse you got. Got young niggas swinging their blade, they swinging cats remind me of us. We got old money, old 20s, and, go mouth on the front. We in the switch ass fucking match nobody's. I'm death when we won't like that, but still. It's that same classic hip hop that, well, not classic, but more like, that very, like, age hip hop, well, classic, oh yeah, fucking classic, yeah, classic, of course, like, he's still representing, he's rapping like that, like, which is pretty some good shit, I can definitely say that, he's in this game, like, you got the second verse, like, Ghost is global classic soul for Teddy Pendergrass on wax with the nasty vocals. Penthouse doorknob jaws and the force of opal. Diamond shaped rooms, the indoor pool is purple. It's like, okay, I'm kind of to see how this album gonna turn out. We're gonna see how turn out.
Only a couple more weeks. But yep. Moving on to the next track here. So, looks like October 3rd, we'll see the release of the latest album from rapper YG, titled The Gentleman's Club. Of course. And we have the latest single from YG, and I don't know if this is the first single off the album or what, but we do have a single from the album here. That's the important thing. It's called Lovers or Friends, and features guest vocals by Leon Thomas III, who, it only just hit me just how much of a push he's making in recent years behind his own name. Like, I know he's been working, like, obviously since, the Victorious days and, the aftermath of that. He had a behind-the-scenes career as a songwriter, working, on Ariana Grande's debut album. I think he also contributed to Thank You Next. He also, unfortunately, has Drake's Certified Lover Boy on his resume, but he's got a bunch of stuff out there, but only in recent years is he making more of a push behind his own name, and I'm kind of curious as to why. Part of me wonders if it's like the same reason why like Matt Bennett from Victorious started doing a bunch of like touring DJ raves, because of those mega length Quentin Reviews videos, but that's just speculation. Anyway, getting to the song itself, it's okay, so, lyrically, you kind of have to deal with a lot because it's a song about YG complaining about being friend-zoned. So, your mileage is obviously going to vary. For me, I don't know, I think a certain kind of personality could pull off a song like this, but I'm not sure YG's that guy. Especially when he unironically drops the line, Private Island, no Epstein. That's probably yeah. Dude, come on, have some standards. However, to be fair, Leon Thomas actually, he handles the chorus and he actually sounds pretty great on it. I've complained about this with his solo stuff, but he's always had this problem where there's an overabundance of production and effects on his voice, but here that's all reduced to a minimum, and he actually gets, like, more, you know, just straightforward breathing room, and his personality shines through a lot, and he does bring a certain kind of swagger to the track. He kind of sounds like a 2000s R&B singer. Like, he's got, like, peak period Usher Raymond energy to his performance. If nothing else, I think he has, like, more charisma to pull this sentiment off more than YG does.
Yeah, I mean, you got a point there. It's like, okay, I see what you're trying to do, but it's like, I don't think it's working in your favor. I mean, it does work in Leon's favor. But yeah, he does score really well. And considering how, like, he's doing it big, not considering, like, he got one single called Mutt that's actually doing very big right now, which, you know, good for him. It's good for him. But yeah, this is, your mouth is very with this track. And you said that it comes out October the 3rd. That's my fucking birthday.
Interesting. You're going to have a busy day then. But now let's move on to the last track we have to discuss. This is, in fact, why I summoned you all here today, gentlemen. The doors are locked and there is no escape. All right, so it was a long time ago. 2019, the pre-pandemic times, the Switch had only been out for 2 years, and a man named Chance the Rapper decided he was going to drop his debut studio album, The Big Day, and received nothing but praise, universal acclaim, and reinforced, you know, having the respect of his peers, and, oh, wait, sorry, I got my notes smudged here. What I meant to say was, Chance the Rapper put out The Big Day and proceeded to shit the bed harder than that hypothetical season 2 of Promised Neverland that everyone keeps trying to gaslight me into believing is real. It never happened. So, yeah. That was a whole thing. God, I still remember so visceral the fucking Vantana review and everything. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But.
And the fact that everything after that, well, it didn't really go that good.
It's like seeing a Train Records album happen in real time. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
Still waiting on that video, Todd. But it's been 6 years since then, and it seems like Mr. Chance wants to take another stab with a new project that, actually, the internet seems unclear if it's an album or a mixtape, but either way, we got a new project coming out August 15th. Jesus Christ, man, give us more of a warning first. We need at least a month to get the shelter ready. So, yeah, August 15th. New Chance the Rapper project called Starline, and we have the first single here called Tree, which features guest appearances by Lil Wayne and Smino. So, it's a song about getting high. Get it? Tree? Bush?
Yeah, it's from trees.
So, instrumentally, it's got this very slow triplet groove with kind of like this reggae guitar thing in the background just to kind of set the tone, because, like, what else are you gonna make your weed song sound like? And I mean, Chance, I don't have much to say, just because it's such a basic sort of song. There's not a lot of imagination to the beat. Chance and Wayne's verses are just, you know, hey, we smoke weed, it makes life easier. There's, like, vague references to growing up in struggling households, their moms working their asses off to provide for them, that almost kind of seem unrelated to the whole theme of getting high. Smino mainly sings on the chorus, and he sounds okay. It's just, I don't know, this song kind of sounds like a whole lot of nothing to me. Maybe the full project will have at least another memorable train wreck, but I don't know, man. This is just, there are many Chance the Rapper songs, and this is one of them.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say this. This sounds like a Chance the Rapper song that would have been made, that was made, it would have sounded good 10 years ago. Like, this is something that I would have heard Chance, like, way back in, back when he debuted, like, around that time. Like, it's not something that's been locked in a vault, and then now, and then now I just release it. I mean, the thing is, like, okay, you're doing this shit. I don't feel nothing at all was in this song. It's like, okay, you're smoking weed, but I'm like, I mean, maybe wrong. I'm like, it's better than anything I heard from the Big Day all those years ago. But still, it's like, I don't know. I don't know. It's like, do I really want to give you a chance? at you again? Because, like, I mean, I'm not seeing tape record. I'm just seeing, well, me just not in the sleep.
I have not a lot to say on here. Lil Wayne here is just there. I guess I'm reading through the lyrics. I'm not finding anything of substance here. Like, blow up pal like I'm Jenny Craig. I'm cold as Winnipeg. That is just. That's a cheap line. Yeah, there is no substance in that line.
Also, Jenny Craig.
All I can really say about this song is, to quote the Joe Budden meme, that shit is a two-pack of ass. Fuck you talking about? That shit stinks.
And how?
Ugh. Get it? Because it's weed smells? Haha, I'm funny.
That's funnier than anything anyone says on this fucking song. Anyway, that about does it for the new song discussion. And we only have one news topic to discuss, so we're just going to jump right into it. The latest development in the Bizarro 2025 saga of Drummer Watch, i.e., what the fuck is wrong with drummers this year?
I don't know. Last Hearts Prevail. They probably have some details. Oh, wait. I think we should ask their former drum tech, because he has all the details.
Oh, God. That
was a whole thing that happened. We're not going to get into it.
Yeah, fucking Christ. But, so just about every other band is, like, switching drummers or firing drummers, and the drummers are clapping back, and the singers are like, no, don't listen to them. We'll tell you what actually happened. It's a lot. There's this weird fucking, and there's trades going on. It might as well be like the NFL draft, but with drummers. In fact, if you want the latest developments in this weird saga of bullshit, so you might remember a couple of months back, Foo Fighters parted ways with Josh Freese, the drummer filling in for the untimely passing of Taylor Hawkins, seemingly without explanation. The replacement, I meant. Like, Josh, he was like, dude, what the hell happened? I didn't do anything. And then they recently confirmed that they hired a drummer named Ilan Rubin to fill in, you know, the slot. Rubin recently had been, well, by recently, I mean he's been drumming with Nine Inch Nails for about 16 years, which is really, really long when you think about it in the grand scale of time. But Nine Inch Nails is obviously doing a lot of touring and stuff, so what are they going to do? Where are they going to get a new drummer? Well, I don't know if you know this, but there's this one drummer. He recently got out of a job. He's looking for some employment. His name is Josh Freese. He used to be in Foo Fighters. Maybe you heard of him. So, yeah, there's this whole swap that's happened. Rubin drumming for Foo Fighters, Freese drumming for Nine Inch Nails. Who apparently also played with Nine Inch Nails during 2005-2008. This would have been about, I believe, With Teeth.
With
from
Teeth
Zero.
And Year Zero.
Year Zero, that's what I meant.
You.
Right about the time I actually started getting into Nine Inch Nails, because Rock Band was a thing. Alright, so...
So, this is basically just a trade. Both bands trade drummers. No idea about any cast considerations or future prospects. I'm sure this will not be the last time we hear about drummers leaving a band to join another band sometime this year, because that's just what this year has turned into. Good God, the music industry's fucked.
And how? Seriously, we don't even have time to get into whatever the fuck is going on with The Who, because apparently there's been some clapbacks going on.
The Who's doing some weird stuff. Hayley Williams put up a website and then took it down with songs. I'm sure there's something else going on in the world music right now, but I can't think about it because my head's fucking killing me.
Yeah, so we'll just leave this as is for now, so take that news as you will. And that'll about do it for the news discussions. We only have one more thing to really discuss, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of August 8th, 2025, of which there's a decent handful to get into here. So, we have, first of all, the newest studio album from Sinsanum with In Devastation. Finally, hopefully at least, the newest album from Baby Metal with Metal Fourth. Then we have the newest album from Automata Gucci with Anyway. Unfortunately, there is a new Good Charlotte project called Motel Du Cap. From singer-songwriter Ethel Kane, there's her new album Willoughby Tucker, I'll Always Love You. From DJ Premier and Rock Marciano, this announcement coming literally, like, over the weekend, they have a new collab project, The Coldest Profession. We have the much-anticipated new album from rapper Jid with God Does Like Ugly. Unfortunately, there is a new Jonas Brothers album called Greetings From Your Hometown. God, why are they in my hometown?
And more unfortunately...
Oh, yeah, there's a new album called Lost Americana from MGK. That is, in fact, Machine Gun Kelly. Take a drink for every Jelly Roll cameo on the record. It's probably going to be like half the fucking tracks. Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
So he's doing what, like, pop country shit now? Or I don't know.
I mean, that's where he went to after he lost his whole beef with Slipknot, so... I mean, did you not hear that terrible cover of Country Roads, Take Me Home?
I heard it. I don't want to hear it again. Who's gonna beef the now? Chris Stapleton? Sturgill Simpson or somebody?
Oh, yeah, I think we joked about this, like, years ago. There's a beef.
Yeah.
But anyway, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can you be found on the internet?
The usual places, as always. The Discord, other Discords, my other show, some platforms, you know, which ones they are. Yeah, as soon as we're done here, I'm going right to bed. I am fucking... Ugh.
That is probably for the best.
Yeah.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, the sky is blue at Maximum Media on my site, on thehype1.com, where, once again, I keep on saying that I'm still doing this shit with Arizona Mirta. Hopefully, maybe. And I'm still writing it as well. I'm close to getting done with the finale. Hopefully, we'll end up doing pulling the insert anime that got the weight, that got episode delayed.
Zom 100.
Okay, that one.
Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sewerresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to visit the website, sewerresolution.com. Where you can find written articles, this podcast, podcast, O&A, all of that good stuff. Be sure to also find the link there to jump into our Discord server so you can chat it up with everyone there. I'd be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the site. And, of course, remember to follow us on Blue Sky at Surreal Resolution. So, thank you for listening this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. Also, between then and now, we should have the roundup for June and July 2025 in the pipeline, so stay tuned. And until next time, Dubai Chocolate is an astroturfed psyop, and I refuse to believe otherwise. Fuck you, IHOP.
Okay.